nice to see you.
Welcome to the pod.
So glad
welcome
to have
to
you
the
here.
Pod. Hey,
so glad.
Thanks for having me, Jaquel.
It's no, really, it's my pleasure.
There's nowhere I would rather be right
really?
Now.
Really? Not well, even in Barbados?
No, let's go to Barbados.
I don't know. I can't remember if it's Aruba or Barbados. Aruba, I have just like a
Jamaica,
really fond
come
memories of.
Pretty
I just thought it was so
mama.
Pretty.
No, I said the wrong words.
Okay.
I was
go back to the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys. You know that I saw the Beach Boys live and in concert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how old I am, baby. Yeah. Jaquel, I have a question for you.
Okay, Dad.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Pretty well?
Pretty well.
Pretty okay?
Pretty okay.
Are you pretty jazzed?
Pretty jazzed.
How's mom
about
life? How's mom life treating you?
Mom life, yo.
That mom life, yo.
It's really good. Lucy sleeps so good. Oh. Every morning I love to just go wake her up because sometimes she'll like cry a little bit in the mornings when she's like, hey, I want to get out of bed. And so I come and see her. And then as soon as she sees me and I start talking to her, she smiles at me and starts laughing.
Oh, that's the best.
She's a great baby. I love her. And now she weighs over 12 pounds.
Whoa,
and
she's
I
getting
need to start
chunky.
Buying 3 to 6 month stuff. And she's only just over 2 months.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's my grandbaby. She's taking after grandpa.
And I just finally, well, okay. So I'm like 95% done the nursery. Mm. Yeah, I know. You can throw some shade at me. My baby is over two months old and I'm just finishing the nursery.
Hey, no shade.
But I gave birth during a pandemic, okay?
You did.
And it is really hard to like finish decorating a nursery and stuff when you can't go to any stores and everything's closed.
But was it really a pandemic? Was it really?
Dad, we're not getting into that today.
Aww.
My goodness. Anyways, but my nursery, it looks so nice. I've got some nice art up on the walls from the Very Hungry Caterpillar. Mm. Man, it just looks, and I really should give props to my husband because he painted the nursery, put everything up on the walls, built the crib, refinished the change table and the rocking chair, and also built me a bookshelf.
Listen,
so.
I have one thing to say about your husband.
Yes, only one thing.
Is a handy man.
Wow.
Man,
could
he's a handy man.
Does this get any more offensive?
He is a... What? How dare you say that?
Oh,
I was complimenting
goodness.
Him.
Oh, my, you
he is
an
incredibly handy man.
To cause trouble.
I don't understand why carpenters don't want to be called handymen.
Because.
He's a very handy man.
Because that is a term that is used for just the casual work. If that's your, if you're a journeyman, Dad.
Journeyman.
If you're a journeyman, then you are not a handyman.
What if you're a journeywoman?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
Jaquel, guess what?
What?
Guess what?
I can't guess. Something to do with food.
Guess
I don't know.
What? I have nothing to talk about food today. I have no, let's see. Do I have anything to say about food right now?
Anything? Well,
oh, Jaquel.
Dad.
I totally have something I need to talk to you about with food.
Okay.
It's very important.
Okay.
So remember several weeks ago we had that intriguing man, it was just like the conversation was just, I mean, our listeners were on the edge of our seat about that sausage you bought that was like
a
meal starter.
Yes.
I bought some of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you cook it yet?
No.
Oh, what are you going to do with it?
That's what we need to talk about.
Okay.
I bought the Italian.
Okay.
Not the spice hot Italian, but just the regular. Mm. And I don't know what to... You said like you chopped up potatoes and made like a hash
like a skillet with it. So like potatoes and mushrooms and onions and the sausage. And I thought it was really good.
Hmm.
But, I mean, there's tons of stuff. You could put it in some spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, you could.
That would be really good.
We just had spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it was amazing, by the way. The spaghetti was amazing.
I don't know. You can make tacos with it.
The spaghetti was so good. Oh, tacos. Good. Pork tacos?
Yeah.
I don't think mom would like. And it's Italian seasoning. Like, do you know that they have a whole whack of them? There's
I
like Baja and Baja. No, there's like a Mexican one. And there's all kinds of them. Like,
yeah,
five
well,
or six
then
of
you,
them.
I don't know. You can make a pasta dish with it, do a skillet.
I don't even know.
Put it over, I don't know, put it on fries.
What?
I don't know. That could
put
be good.
Put it on fries?
With some cheese. You could make like, you make like Italian fries, melt some mozza cheese on it, put some sausage.
That's just not
waffle fries.
Mm, that's crazy.
Those were so bad.
All right. Well, you've been of no help to me whatsoever.
I gave you multiple suggestions.
Yeah.
Also,
none of them were any
you know
good.
Where Google is. Go research for yourself.
I don't want to do that.
But that's what you do with every food.
Takes too much time.
Well, I am most excited about Sunday's meal. When you make your grand foray, into the world of ramen.
Yes.
How are you feeling about your...
I haven't really given it much thought. It's closed. I wonder where it went.
What?
I had the recipe I was going to use open in Google, and now it's gone.
Yes, for Travis's birthday.
He wanted ramen. Yeah, and for our listeners, I think ramen is like the dumbest food in the world.
Okay, why do you have to call it dumb? Why can't you just say that it's like you're not a fan of it?
It's just dumb.
I think it's a pretty smart recipe, personally. So versatile. You can take, you know, cheap noodles and broth, and you make a 100 variations of it.
But it's just like,
cost-efficient, tasty.
Sweaty sock soup.
Maybe, well, I think the problem is you just haven't had good ramen.
I have never had ramen.
What?
I have no interest in having ramen.
No.
I know what ramen is.
You are not allowed to have that strong of a food opinion when you haven't even had it.
I am.
And you're going to cook it for us when you don't like it but haven't even had it.
But here's the thing.
I'm nervous now.
I know what it is. It's just like a broth with you throw a bunch of food in it. It's like, I would rather have the food not in the broth.
Goodness. Yeah, but if you haven't even tried it, then you don't even know what it's like when all those flavors are married together.
Listen, Jaquel, I have watched Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives enough times to know what ramen is all about.
Okay, but you haven't tasted it. Okay.
But I know all of the individual items.
You can't just watch them eating it and say, I can just assume I know exactly how this tastes in my palate.
Because I know what the individual things taste like. And so now you just put them in a bowl of water.
Oh my goodness, though. You can't say that with anything else, with a hamburger. I know what raw meat and salt and pepper taste like, so I know exactly what it tastes like if you put them all together and cook them.
No, I think you could. If you have had a bun before, and you have had a hamburger patty before, and you've had mustard, ketchup, and pickles before, then you can say you can know what it will taste like put together.
That's not how it works, though.
Oh, no, I think flavors. It does. No, I think it does.
No, you can't just imagine how it tastes like.
You just put them in water. That doesn't change the flavors of the things.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to report back on this ramen.
It's going to be
the ramen report.
The ramen report. Okay, I like the sound of that.
Welcome to the
ramen report.
It's sketch now.
Sketch.
Anyways, did you have anything else you were going to talk about? Because you seemed like you had something.
Something went weird here. I don't know what's going on. I'm just looking at our recording stuff.
Oh, how very professional.
Yeah, well, you know, we're nothing if not professional.
I'm going to have to add producer to your list. I'm here with my pastor, producer, and dad.
I didn't know if we had discussed if we wanted to do a review your reviews.
Oh.
I don't know if we wanted to do that. Remember, I briefly mentioned that. Do we want to do that? One or the other?
What's our time like?
I don't know. Let's see. Well, that's what I was looking at, and then I noticed some weird thing going on there. I don't know what's going on here, but...
Maybe we should save that for next week.
Okay. Well, we're at 8 minutes and 30 seconds. I mean, we could talk about ramen some more.
Nope. I think it's time to get to the topic du jour, or du jour, as somebody I know likes to say.
Are we going
to
get to the meat? Of the subject
and the potatoes.
What about the noodles and the broth
and the egg
and the egg? Yeah. Well, I ordered some weird stuff off of Amazon too for this thing. So.
All right. Wow. If it wasn't sketch before, it is sketch
now. Oh, listen. When you eat my ramen, you know what you're gonna say?
I'm gonna say big oof.
Oof.
Big
oof. Indeed. Big oof. You better not say oof. You're gonna be like. You make the best ramen.
We'll see. We'll
and then
see.
I'll be eating a cheeseburger in the kitchen.
I'll give my ramen report next week.
Okay, well, tune in next week for the ramen report.
If for no other reason than the substance of the ramen report.
Okay, listen, it's time to get on to things, Jaquel.
That's what I said.
It's time.
49 seconds
Let's
ago.
Let's get a move on. Just a minute. I got to sit back. I'm getting a little tired leaning forward. All right, so.
Tough to be you.
Let's talk, Jaquel.
I think that's what we've been doing
for the past nine minutes. For a moment or two.
Let's get serious, all right. Guys.
Let's get serious. Whatever happened to those guys?
I don't know if they're still even making videos.
What were they called?
Snippets.
Kids snippets. Yeah. Oh, my soul.
Those
kids
are hilarious.
Snippets. Too funny. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about giving. Okay, enough of this jibber jabber. We are talking about giving because, Jaquel, we've been talking about having... So it's time to talk about giving.
Wow, what a powerful statement.
Last week we talked about having. This week we talk about giving. I think that works. Actually, we've been talking about like money and things like that.
Money, possessions, eternity.
How to think about what God has given you, whether it's money or whether it's talents or whether it's time, whatever. Yeah. You know, so now we're going to talk about probably, for surely.
Oh. For sure.
Yeah, I'm sitting up again. I can't be sitting back again.
Now we're getting really serious.
I gotta stretch. Wow. We're talking about giving here today. Okay?
Because we talking about giving?
Giving is the key. I'm sorry. Well, okay. What did we say last week?
Giving is the antidote to materialism.
Right. So we don't want to be materialistic. So what should we do? We should give.
That's right. We're commanded to give. We looked at that verse where it talks about that we are the rich and we are commanded to give generously.
Okay. But Jaquel, are we talking about giving to the church? Are we talking about giving in general?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes to both.
Are we talking about this or that? Yes.
We're talking about both. We're talking about giving in general.
Yeah. Because if you think about what the scripture says about giving to the church, then doesn't that likewise have applications to giving in general?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what does the Bible say? Where did the whole idea of giving begin?
Oh, sorry. I thought leading into it.
No, that's a question. Where did the idea of giving begin?
It began in the Old Testament with God's people when he gave them clear directives to give. I mean, we see in the law, Leviticus 27:30 specifically says every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord, which is interesting because, you know, they didn't have like dollars and bills.
I know.
Back then.
They weren't writing no checks.
Right.
But dropping them in the plate.
But they were still giving what they had of their land, of their possessions, and that was very important to God's people.
Yeah, and I mean, like probably one of the most, to me, one of the most important verses on giving in the Old Testament is Proverbs 3:9-10. I remember memorizing this years ago, and it's just something really helpful to keep in mind, and it's something that still applies today. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So basically with whatever you have.
Mm-hmm. And the best of what you have.
Yeah, exactly. And it says, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So, giving began in the Old Testament. I mean, everybody is, well, not everybody, but some people will be familiar with Malachi 3, 8,
and 10.
Yeah,
if you go to Sermon on Giving.
Where it talks about robbing God and he says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And then he says, in your tithes and contributions. Like they weren't giving what they were supposed to be giving. Mm-hmm. And so there's no question that in the Old Testament, tithing is commanded. And I mean, much to some people's,
chagrin.
This? Yeah, or misunderstanding. I mean, in the Old Testament, they weren't required just to give 10%. Mm. It was much more than that. But the question becomes is do we still have to give 10%? Right. Do we still have to give a tithe? And I personally think that's the wrong place to start, right? Because so often when we talk about giving to the church, it's like, well, how much do I have to give? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the bottom line? It's like, well, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about a tithe. And some people believe that we're still obligated to give a tithe. We'll get to our answer on that. But first of all, some people say, well, how much do I give? Now, is it 10% on my net or on my gross? Mm-hmm. You know, or it's like, well, I can't afford a tithe. Or, God wouldn't have given me all of this stuff if he didn't want me to enjoy it. He doesn't want me to just give it to the church, does he?
Right.
Well, you know.
Yes.
I mean, in one respect, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when it comes to the stuff that we have, is there any privilege greater than giving to the church?
No.
Like what is the church? The church is the people of God committed to making disciples for the kingdom of God.
Right.
So it's committed to making a difference for eternity. And Jaquel, what are we supposed to be focused on?
Eternity.
Eternity. It's focused on the line.
Eternal rewards.
So, I mean, when I think about giving, and let's just acknowledge, when it comes to giving to the church, it's a very polarizing issue. Mm-hmm. There's people with very strong opinions on this, but I most definitely believe that tithing is not required, but I think that tithing is a good place to start.
Right.
Like, if you can give 10%, and recognizing that in the Old Testament they had to give more than 10%, but if you can give 10%, I think that's an awfully good place to start.
Yeah.
Like, I think that if you can, I think that should be the... You know, that should be the base.
Yeah, yeah. Like Randy Alcorn, I think this is how he says it, is that it should be the floor, not the ceiling. It should be the training wheels, not the bicycle, which I think is a really... Yeah, helpful way to think about it, especially for young people. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you've got your first job, or maybe you have an allowance, or you do odd jobs. You have some kind of money, and you are wondering, you know, should I give to the church? Should I give something? Mm-hmm. My answer is yes, absolutely. If you have any money that you're getting, yes, give it to the church. Even, you know, if you receive money as a gift, maybe you would like to consider giving a portion of that to the church.
What about my allowance?
Yes.
But Jaquel, hold on a minute here. What if my parents already gave 10% of all that they got, and then of the 90%, they gave some to me? Why do I still have to tithe?
Because this is, I guess, your money, and so it's your responsibility.
Or maybe, Jaquel, it's because I don't got to. I get to.
Oh, wow.
We're too focused on the got to when we should be focused on the get to.
This is true.
Right? Like, and that's where our problem is always in trying to get away with giving as little as possible, when really we should be trying to give as much as possible.
Right. It actually reminds me of the whole like question when it comes to like sexual purity, that it's like, oh, how much can I get away with? Like, how far is too far? When those are the wrong questions to ask, it should really be like, how can I, you know, live the most pure, honorable life?
Right.
And when it comes to giving, it's like how much do I have to give is the wrong question. It should be, how can I give the most how can I live the most like honorable, generous life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said it, girl. So now what do you think about giving to other we're going to get into giving more generally. And by generally, we mean, you know, like giving to a neighbor who's in need, somebody at church who needs a babysitter, giving mm-hmm. time to them, cutting one of the elderly people in your church's lawn. Just giving in general, sharing your lunch with your friend at school. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm talking about like planned, prepared giving, like giving to the church. That's I think we both agree that that's first.
Number one.
Right? What do we think about giving to other causes?
Not only do I think it's a very good idea, I actually do it.
Oh.
So Joe and I do it right now. So I do think it is important. And I think that because, again, if we are viewing giving not just as something we have to do, but something we get to do, we should be looking to give as much as possible.
Right.
And so if we are giving generously to the church, mm-hmm. We should be seeking, I think, also to not just say, okay, we've given our money to the church, the rest of the money is ours, we shouldn't have to give it for anything. So for us, it's important that we also are seeking to do good in our community, mm-hmm. maybe also a community that our church doesn't necessarily overlap with. Mm-hmm. And we want to, seek to meet other needs that are going on. And I think it just all comes down to your perspective of money. If you think it's not yours mm-hmm. in the first place, then I think it's not only acceptable, but an honorable thing to the Lord to seek to give it away to other places as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's several contributing factors. You know what my position has been.
I do.
Personally, my position is that if I have extra, I give to the church.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't give to other organizations. And these are some reasons that I could see that would justify. And again, like that's just my personal decision. Mm-hmm. I most definitely do not promote that to the church. If somebody came up to me and said, you know, do you think I should give to X, Y, or Z? And I would say mm-hmm. if it's an honorable thing and you want to, absolutely. Like, and you know, same with you say, well, that's wonderful. And there's a few reasons why I can see. Number one, what if the church, you know, doesn't have enough to be, well, no, let's just be straight. The church doesn't have enough to give to everything.
Right.
No church has enough to give to everything.
Right.
And God has given each of us different focuses in life.
Yeah.
So one person might be more focused on protecting the unborn. Somebody else might be more focused on the issue of euthanasia.
Right.
Somebody else might be more focused on the issue of sex trafficking, while somebody else would be more focused on the issue of the persecuted church.
Right.
And it's like the church can't deal with everything.
Exactly.
And so there's very good organizations out there doing very good specialized things that the church, you know, especially like I'm thinking in our context, we have a small church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, like we can't give to everything. We can't give to every cause. So I think that's a very good reason why it's good to give to other things. And maybe it's something that I'll reconsider in future days.
And I would just like to plug, if you're wondering, well, you know, I don't know what organization to give to. I've heard about these organizations that like take all your money and put them to admin costs or whatever.
Right.
Randy Alcorn's ministry, Eternal Perspectives Ministry, actually has a list of several dozen charities, organizations in all these different categories, you know, pro-life, trafficking, all this stuff that they either personally give to or would recommend. And so Joe and I have used that list and we'll link to it in the show notes.
I think his website is
Is it EPM.org?
EPM.org, okay. I was going to say. I was just looking it up, but I think it's EPM.org. Anyway, that's very good. Like the point is that there are very good organizations out there doing very good work in specialized areas. And that's why I think it's, you know, I very much agree with that perspective that you should be seeking to give as much as you can. And if there's a cause that you are concerned about, that and I mean, the other thing, too, is that, like, we all have different experiences in life.
Right.
You know, like, if you've lost somebody to a heart condition, then you might be tempted to give to the, not tempted, you might want to give to, yeah, to the Heart Foundation, or, you know, all kinds of other things like that. So that's a really good word. I like that. Now let's move on. Let's talk about how we should give. Mm. And this is going to apply to every area.
Right.
Right. So every area. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 8. Do you got that one up, Jaquil?
I can.
I'm going to go there as well. But 2 Corinthians 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 through...
chapter 9 a bit.
Well, yeah. We're not going to read all of the verses, I don't think. But let's, because, I mean, this is just super incredibly helpful. And I mean, we're just going to go over this very, on a very surface level. I encourage you to go deeper into 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 if you want to know more about giving. But 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2, why don't you read those first?
Sure. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part.
Isn't that just the best? Yes. They're like, they don't have very much, so what did they do? They gave more.
Right.
The point is generosity. And I mean, that's really what we're talking about, is we need to give generously. We shouldn't be stingy in our giving.
Right.
And we've kind of covered this already. It's not about how much you have to give. It's being able to get to give. Mm-hmm. And man, I don't know why we just can't see that.
Yeah.
Like, it should be simple.
Yeah.
Because all the people who are the happiest people, believer or unbeliever, are the people that are not stingy with their stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, how can you not think about Ebenezer Scrooge? I mean, I know it's a fiction tale, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, there is truth. The whole reason that movies like that resonate with us, because there's truth there.
Yeah.
And look at what he was like at the end of the movie compared to what he was like at the beginning of the movie. We've got to be able to see this. So
liberating.
Give generously. And something else that we saw in there, but gets played out further in verses 3 through 5. He says, I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly given to the church, but he says, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God.
Right.
So it's like they were just begging to give, right? And it reminds me of in the Old Testament when they're building the tabernacle. Moses is like, no,
too much. Enough. We don't need anymore.
I just keep thinking, like, imagine how amazing it would be if we had that problem as a church. But the question is why don't we have that problem?
Yeah.
Because we just don't see how important giving is and how much of a blessing it is.
And we don't give sacrificially. Like this is the thing. Okay, so there is, I think it's important that, you know, God calls us to be wise stewards of our money.
Yeah.
But God also calls us to sacrifice. And I mean, you think of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? You know, don't go sell some of your possessions. He said, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor.
Yeah.
And he was like, no thanks. My money. Exactly. I don't want to sacrifice.
No, he wanted to worship his stuff. Yeah. He wouldn't sacrifice his
Materialist
stuff.
Materialist right there.
Exactly. So, and not only did they give of their stuff, like Paul says, they even gave of themselves. So,
and that's where it starts. Like, with a heart attitude, it's if we recognize that God is the owner of everything, if we recognize the lordship of Christ that we talked about last week, this is why we won't be materialist if we're thinking not selfishly. We are existing for God and we are seeking to use our money for him.
Yeah. Okay. And then this next one, I mean, why don't you read... Read verses 7 through 9, why don't you?
But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Mm. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich.
I think we just found it. Why isn't it that people don't give more? Because they don't realize that giving is an act of grace. Mm-hmm. Because if we recognize, as the argument goes here, if we recognize the grace that has been shown to us, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor, right? If we can realize the grace that has been shown to us, what has been given to us, then why would we not want to give to others?
Right.
So we need to see that giving is an act of grace, and we need to excel in giving. Like, so when I think of excel, like it makes me realize we need to work at it. Right? Like, I mean, to excel is obviously, you know, to go above and beyond there, but it's something that takes work.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to constantly work at it, but it's going to be a lot easier to do if we focus on the grace that has been shown to us.
Mm. Absolutely. And then related to that, we need to seek to give willingly, which is kind of been clearly displayed in these verses already. But I mean, Paul even goes more into it. But, you know, they gave beyond their means. Mm-hmm. They gave themselves. Like, this was no, like, giving begrudgingly. This was, like, giving, you know, with joy out of a desire to be faithful with all that they have.
Yeah, like, they were happy to give.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly it. That's what he says later in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, and this is where I think that this is a helpful passage as well, as far as how much do I have to give. He says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mm. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So that one really, really, really brings it all together. You give generously, you give sacrificially, you give as an act of grace, you give willingly, and you give cheerfully. Mm. Right? Like, I mean, I don't know if you remember all the year. I don't know if you remember growing up in Dawson Creek very much, but I'll never remember Pastor Mike, a dear friend of mine that I learned a great deal from. And he would often say, and I think this made some people cringe, especially when finances were tough at the church. But he would say, listen, if you don't have a cheerful heart, if you're not giving as an act of worship, he says, you know what? Don't give. Mm-hmm. Right? Because like giving is to be an act of worship. Mm-hmm. And we're to be cheerful worshipers. Like, we should mm-hmm. be grateful to God that we can give, so that, like, you think about, even if you come to church and you've been through a devastating tragedy in the last week mm-hmm. or in the last month, or you're just having a tough time and you're feeling down, at least you get the blessing of giving of something that right. you have. And you should still be able to be cheerful to God in how you give. Now, it doesn't mean that you're happy about the tragedy right. that you've had, but no matter what you've lost, you still have something to give.
Right. And I think this is a good point that even goes back to that proverb we talked about, that, like, obedience results in blessing. Mm-hmm. Now, often,
right.
sometimes, right. you know, especially with giving, the obedience is the blessing.
Yes, exactly.
So we don't want you to hear us at all saying, you know, getting into the prosperity gospel that, you know, you should give because then God will bless you with health and wealth and wisdom and you'll get it all back and more and all this stuff. No, the giving, you know, God blesses you through that act.
And he also gives to you so that you can give to others.
Right.
Right. So you sometimes wonder, you know, well, you know, why wouldn't God want me to buy this Lamborghini if he gave me all this money? Why do I keep using Lamborghini?
I don't know.
Like, who buys Lamborghinis?
Probably not many.
Nobody buys Lamborghinis. But you know, you might say, oh, well, you know, I got this extra money, so God must want me to buy a game for myself or a new iPhone or whatever. And I mean, you have the freedom to do those things. Right. Yes, we're not saying that buying an iPhone or whatever is necessarily sinful, but we need to think about why it is that God prospers us, because God does prosper us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Or I think back to that Proverbs 3:9-10, you know, and your barns will be full and your vats will overflow. And Paul goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So I love how Randy Alcorn says it. And have we mentioned the book in this episode yet?
I'm not sure.
We haven't, these last few episodes have been loosely based on a book by Randy Alcorn called The Treasure Principle. Excellent book. You should definitely read. And key number 6 mm-hmm. in this is that God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but my standard of giving.
Yeah.
And I love that, not just because it rhymes, but the fact that it rhymes helps.
Hey, it's easy to remember.
You know, it, because we immediately think, oh, God has blessed me. What should I buy for myself?
Right.
I need to get myself a treat because God has blessed me.
Exactly.
It's like, maybe.
Yeah,
but maybe not.
Maybe God has blessed you with that so you can give it all away.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is okay. So if you think about where we started, about how we often look at giving. And again, we're talking about giving in general. Like, we're not just talking about giving to the church. That's where it needs to start. But we're mm-hmm. talking about giving. We say, how much do I have to give? And rather, we should be saying, what is the least that I should keep? Mm. You know, like, because, yeah. And again, I know, you know, I'm not much for kitschy sayings, but the reality is you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
You know, you it's don't true. See.
And in fact, you can save it for later by storing up those eternal rewards. Like, yeah. That's what you can work for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Talk about the best investment you'll ever make.
Yeah. Or, okay. So we also say, like, I can't afford to tithe. Mm. But again, we actually can't afford not to tithe.
Well, you got to think about it. Like, and again, like we don't want to put any unnecessary weights or we don't want to bind anybody's conscience on this. Like, it may be that for a time you literally cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, if you can't feed your children, mm-hmm. then okay, maybe. But
those circumstances are rare.
They're rare, and most times. Or sometimes we've got ourselves into situations like that as a result of previous sin, mm-hmm. you know, whether we've racked up debt that we shouldn't have racked up or other circumstances. So the reality is that we should not be looking for excuses to tithe. We should be doing everything we can to give at least 10%.
Yeah, exactly.
Like again, we're saying at least 10%. Mm. That we think this is a good starting part. This is not we do not believe this is a law.
Yeah.
We are not saying that everybody must give 10%, but we think that's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes we'll say God wouldn't have given it to me if he didn't want me to enjoy it. And it's kind of like, okay, but how are you supposed to enjoy it?
Right?
He tells us to be generous. So one of the ways to be enjoying it might be considering how to give it away. So mm-hmm. Anyway, let's just end with some questions. For people to consider. We've talked a lot about money and stuff and giving and whatnot. So,
okay. So what opportunities do I have to give right now?
Yeah.
So again, like your church, look around your neighborhood and not just with money, with your time, with your talents. What are ways you can be generous and sacrificial and willing in your giving right now?
Or I mean, like maybe you say, well, I don't have any money, but you have stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, you know, maybe you have some things that you don't use anymore. You could give it to some less fortunate or we're not here to tell you how, but we're telling you to look for opportunities to give. Now, for the young people out there, most definitely you need to interact with your parents on this issue.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want your parents to come up to your bedroom and everything be gone. And they go, what happened? Oh, Jaquil and Sean told me to give all my stuff away. Yeah. No. If you're living in your parents' house, then you definitely have to interact with them and talk to them about that.
Yeah.
Say, Mom and Dad, I really feel like I want to be giving more. What are some opportunities that I can use to give?
Right.
And they'll help you. Also think about, you know, I refer to past mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to finances and whatnot, especially with finances, we can get ourselves in trouble. So be thinking about how has your giving glorified God in the past, mm-hmm. and think about if there's some changes you need to make there.
Yeah. And then I think the question that may be the most helpful for, you know, young people listening, and one reason I was so excited to do these episodes is to think about the question, what dreams do I have for giving in the future? So, you know, you may still be living at home, but in a few years, you will be off to college. You will be working full time. You might be married. And you, at that point, will be making decisions about how you use your wealth, how you use the much bigger portion of money that God gives you. And I think laying the foundation right now of a generous spirit, mm-hmm. a heart that desires to give as much as possible and honor God, and even, you know, make dreams for the future, mm-hmm. about how you can give, make plans, that's a beautiful thing for a young person to cultivate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so think about dreams of giving to the church, but also think about, you know, what are the causes? Because as I mentioned, I just mentioned a few of them earlier on. There are so many out there. Think about the things that you're most burdened about, that you can help the most concerning, you know, what God lays on your heart. You know, I hate that kind of thinking or that kind of phraseology. But the point is, you know, what concerns you the most, right? Mm-hmm. Concerning what's going on in the world and concerning the needs that are there. I like that. You know, dream big as far as giving. Seek to give more, not give less. Yeah. And be grateful for the things that God has given you so that you can give. So, you know, hopefully this has been helpful. I don't know what we're going to talk about next. We're talking about next?
No, I don't think so.
You just never know. I mean,
we like to keep people guessing.
You just never know. But you may have noticed this. You may have not. I mean, we kept referencing that book by Randy Alcorn, The Treasure Principle. But if you look, you know, you listen to these four episodes and you think, oh, I want more. Mm. You definitely want to read that book.
Yes.
It will fill in some of the blanks. And then you want even more. Yes. You definitely want to read Money, Possessions, and Eternity by Randy Alcorn.
Please read it. Yes. So it will change your perspective on, and Money, Possessions, and Eternity, not just, you know, like giving to the church, but it covers a lot of different topics too with your money. So highly recommend.
Cool. All right, where can people find us online, especially if they want to give us ideas for future episodes? Not that we need them or anything, but you know.
They can email us at Patel or Sean at ageminority.com. Leave a comment on our website, ageminority.com. They can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if they, you know, don't have any ideas for us, but they want to leave us a few kind words, just, you know, be so generous with their time.
Just give your time.
They can head up to iTunes. Honest 5-star rating and review.
Absolutely.
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 Positively.
All right, then. Until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.